Hey, it's Otis here. Before we get to the bedtime reading, I wanted to let you know that I just launched a brand new show. It's called The Daily Book Club, a daytime companion to Sleepy, where you hear entire books one chapter at a time, one day at a time. Simple as that. So if Sleepy is how you wind down your day, The Daily Book Club is a great way to start your day. There's new episodes daily. I read in a slightly peppier voice so that you can get really lost in these amazing stories that have stood the test of time. Or, just like Sleepy, you can sit back and relax and zone out to a good book. The first book we'll be reading is The Enchanted April by Elizabeth Von Arnim. Story is, in the 1920s, four women unfulfilled with life take a chance and abscond to a dreamy medieval Italian castle. It's a story dripping with wisteria, the beauty of solitude, and an unlikely pursuit of joy in Portofino, Italy. I think that this is a perfect story for the season, and you can hear it now. Find the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. This show has been a long time coming, and I'm so excited to bring you even more stories. So go subscribe to the Daily Book Club to hear what happens next. Thanks. This episode of Sleepy is proudly sponsored by ButcherBox. If you've listened to Sleepy for a while, you know that I love good food, eating well, and treating my body right so that I can take on my days. Well, ButcherBox helps you do exactly that. They deliver super high quality, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, crate-free pork, and wild-caught seafood right to your door. It's humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. They have a huge variety to choose from. They are excellent deals. They've got recipes and guides and tips included, and there's free shipping, always. Eating well is a huge factor in getting a good night's sleep, as is sometimes saving the trip to the grocery store and taking some stress out of your daily schedule. I have been loving these deliveries for those reasons. Been cooking up their steak tips with eggs in the morning, with butter and scallions and soy sauce, and I also made a delicious brine chicken roast with lemon parsley gravy. So good. The prices for this kind of quality and convenience is really impressive. ButcherBox has made me very happy. So sign up at butcherbox.com/sleepy and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sleepy and use code SLEEPY to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order. butcherbox.com/sleepy. Eat well, sleep well.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, and you're listening to Sleepy. Podcast where I read old books to help you get to sleep, and a proud member of the Airwave Podcast Network. I have got a wonderful, snoozy bedtime story for you tonight. But before we get to tonight's reading, I just want to thank all of our patrons on Patreon.com. Lulu, Nate, and Trish Hatfield. Thank you all so, so much for donating and being a part of making this show. And for those of you who have not heard this before, these wonderful names that I just read are brand new patrons on Patreon.com, which is an awesome site that you can go on and support creators of the work that you like. So if Sleepy has helped you get a better night's sleep, and you'd like to be a supporter of the show directly, just go to patreon.com/sleepyradio and donate even $1 a month. There's cool perks for donating at $5 a month, but no matter how much you donate, I will read your name in the opening credits of the next show after you do. So again, that's patreon.com/sleepyradio. Thank you. And as always, the music you're hearing is by my good friend James Lepkowski, and the cover art for Sleepy is by Gracie Kanan. Well, tonight, Christmas is over, so I want to say Merry, Merry Christmas to everyone listening, and Happy Holidays. If you celebrate something else, I really hope you had a wonderful holiday season. I know I did. I'm kind of sad that it's over, but very much looking forward to New Year's this year. So, as Christmas was yesterday, and it didn't feel appropriate to read another Christmas book, and because I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm losing my voice once again for the second time this month, I'm going to be posting an oldie but goodie tonight. I'm going to be posting The Story of Robin Hood by Howard Pyle. I did try recording something new this past week, but my voice just, it can't make it through a long reading, so hopefully my voice will be back again next week. I'll bring you some new stories for the new year. But for now, I hope you can sleep soundly to this story of Robin Hood. And now is the time for you to fluff up your pillow just how you like it. Feel yourself melt into your bed. Get real comfortable. Close your eyes. And let me read to you. How Robin Hood came to be an outlaw. In Merry England, in the time of old, when good King Henry II ruled the land, there lived within the green glades of Sherwood Forest, near Nottingham Town, a famous outlaw whose name was Robin Hood. No archer ever lived that could speed a gray goose shaft with such skill and cunning as his, nor were there ever such yeomen as the 70 merry men that roamed with him through the greenwood shades. Right merrily they dwelled within the depths of Sherwood Forest, suffering neither care nor want, but passing the time in merry games of archery or bouts of cudgel play, living upon the king's venison, washed down with draughts of ale of October's brewing. Not only Robin himself, but all the band were outlaws and dwelled apart from other men. Yet they were beloved by the country people round about, for no one ever came to jolly Robin for help in time of need and went away again with an empty fist. And now I will tell you how it came about that Robin Hood fell afoul of the law. When Robin was a youth of 18, stout of sinew and bold of heart, the sheriff of Nottingham proclaimed a shooting match and offered a prize of a butt of ale to whosoever should shoot the best shaft in Nottinghamshire. "Now," quoth Robin, "will I go too, for fain would I draw a string for the bright eyes of my lass and a butt of good October brewing." So up he got, and took his good stout yew bow, and a score more broad cloth-yard arrows, and started off from Locksley Town, through Sherwood Forest, to Nottingham. It was at the dawn of day, in the merry Maytime, when hedgerows are green and flowers bedeck the meadows, daisies pied and yellow cuckoo buds, and fair primroses all along the briary hedges, when apple buds blossom and sweet birds sing, the lark at dawn of day, the throstle cock and cuckoo, when lads and lasses look upon each other with sweet thoughts, when busy housewives spread their linen to bleach upon the bright green grass. Sweet was the greenwood as he walked along its paths, and bright and green and rustling leaves amid which the little bird sang with might and main, and blithely robin whistled as he trudged along, thinking of maid Marian and her bright eyes, for at such times a youth's thoughts are wont to turn pleasantly upon the lass that he loves the best. As thus he walked along with a brisk step and a merry whistle, he came suddenly upon some forester seated beneath the great oak tree. 15 there were in all, making themselves merry with feasting and drinking as they sat around a huge pasty, to which each man helped himself, thrusting his hands into the pie and washing down that which they ate with great horns of ale, which they drew all foaming from a barrel that stood nigh. Each man was clad in Lincoln green, and a fine show they made, seated upon the sward beneath that fair spreading tree. Then one of them, with his mouth full, called out to Robin, "Halloa, where goest thou, little lad, with thy one penny bow and thy farthing shafts?" Then Robin grew angry, for no stripling likes to be taunted with his green years. "Now," quoth he, "my bow and eke mine arrows are as good as thine, and moreover, I go to the shooting match at Nottingham Town, which same has been proclaimed by our good sheriff in Nottinghamshire. There I will shoot with other stout yeomen, for a prize has been offered of a fine butt of ale." Then one who held a horn of ale in his hand said, "Oh, listen to the lad. Why, boy, thy mother's milk is yet scarce dry upon thy lips, and yet thou pratest of standing up with good stout men at Nottingham Butts. Thou, who art scarce able to draw one string of a 2-stone bow. I'll hold the best of you 20 marks," quoth bold Robin, "that I hit the clout at 60 rods by the good help of Our Lady Fair." At this all laughed aloud, and one said, "Well boasted, thou fair infant, well boasted, and well thou knowest that no target is nigh to make good thy wager." And another cried, "He'll be taking ale with his milk next." At this Robin grew right mad. "Hark ye," said he, "yonder at the glade's end, I see a herd of deer, even more than 60 rods distant. I'll hold you 20 marks that, by leave of Our Lady, I caused the best hart among them to die." "Now done," cried he who had spoken first, "and here are 20 marks. I wager that thou causest no beast to die, with or without the aid of Our Lady." Then Robin took his good yew bow in his hand, and placing the tip at the instep, he strung it right deftly. Then he knocked a broad cloth-eared arrow, and raising the bow, drew the gray goose feather to his ear. The next moment, the bowstring rang, and the arrow sped down the glade as a sparrowhawk skims in a northern wind. High leaped the noblest heart of all the herd, only to fall dead, reddening the green path with his heart's blood. "Ha," cried Robin, "how likest thou that shot, good fellow? I wot the wager were mine, and it were 300 pounds. Then all the foresters were filled with rage, and he who had spoken the first and had lost the wager was more angry than all. "Nay," cried he, "the wager is none of thine, and get thee gone straight away, or by all saints of heaven, I'll baste thy sides until thou wilt ne'er be able to walk again." "Knowest thou not," said another, "that thou hast killed the king's deer, and by the laws of our gracious lord and sovereign King Harry, thine ears should be shaven close to thy head." "Catch him," cried a third. "Nay," said a fourth, "let him e'en go, because of his tender ears." "Never a word," said Robin Hood, but he looked at the foresters with a grim face. Then, turning on his heel, strode away from them down the forest glade. But his heart was bitterly angry, for his blood was hot and youthful and prone to boil. Now, well would it have been for him who had first spoken had he left Robin Hood alone, but his anger was hot, both because the youth had gotten the better of him, and because of the deep draughts of ale that he had been quaffing. So, of a sudden, without any warning, he sprang to his feet and seized upon his bow and fitted it to a shaft. "Aye," cried he, "and I'll hurry thee anon." And he sent the arrow whistling after Robin. It was well for Robin Hood that the same forester's head was spinning with ale, or else he would have never taken another step. As it was, the arrow whistled within 3 inches of his head. Then he turned around and quickly drew his own bow and sent an arrow back in return. "He said I was no archer," he cried aloud, "but say so now again." The shaft flew straight. The archer fell forward with a cry and lay on his face upon the ground, his arrows rattling about him from out of his quiver, the gray grew shaft wet with his heart's blood. Then, before the others could gather their wits about them, Robin Hood was gone into the depths of the greenwood. Some started after him, but not with much heart, for each feared to suffer the death of his fellow. So presently, they all came and lifted the dead man up and bore him away to Nottingham Town. Meanwhile, Robin Hood ran through the greenwood. Gone was all the joy and brightness from everything, for his heart was sick within him, and it was borne in upon his soul that he had slain a man. "Alas," cried he, "thou hast found me an archer that will make thy wife to ring. I would thou that hadst ne'er said one word to me, or that I had never passed thy way, or e'en that my right forefinger had been stricken off ere that this happened. In haste I smote, but grieve I sore at leisure." And then, even in his trouble, he remembered the old saw, that what is done, and the egg cracked cannot be cured.
And so he came to dwell in the greenwood that was to be his home for many a year to come, never again to see the happy days with the lads and lasses of sweet Locksley Town. For he was outlawed, not only because he had killed a man, but also because he had poached upon a king's deer. And 200 pounds were set upon his head as a reward for whoever would bring him to the court of the king. Now the sheriff of Nottingham swore that he himself would bring his knave Robin Hood to justice, and for two reasons. First, because he wanted the 200 pounds, and next, because the forester that Robin Hood had killed was of kin to him. But Robin Hood lay hidden in Sherwood Forest for 1 year, and in that time there gathered round him many others like himself, cast out from other folk for this cause and for that. Some had shot deer in hungry winter time, when they could get no other food, and had been seen in the act by the foresters, but had escaped, thus saving their ears. Some had been turned out of their inheritance, that their farms might be added to the king's land in Sherwood Forest. Some had been despoiled by a great baron, or a rich abbot, or a powerful esquire. All, for one cause or another, had come to Sherwood to escape wrong and oppression. So, in all that year, 50 or more good stout yeomen gathered about Robin Hood and chose him to be their leader and chief. Then they vowed that even as they themselves had been despoiled, they would despoil their oppressors, whether baron, abbot, knight, or squire, and that from each they would take that which had been wrung from the poor by unjust taxes, or land rents, or in wrongful fines. But to the poor folk they would give a helping hand in need and trouble, and would return to them that which had been unjustly taken from them. Besides this, they swore never to harm a child, nor to wrong a woman, be she maid, wife, or widow, so that after a while, when the people began to find that no harm was meant to them, but that money for food came in time of want to many a poor family, they came to praise Robin and his merry men, and to tell many tales of him and of his doings in Sherwood Forest, for they felt him to be one of themselves. Up rose Robin Hood one merry morn, when all the birds were singing blithely among the leaves, and up rose his merry men, each fellow washing his head and hands in the cold brown brook that leaped laughing from stone to stone. Then said Robin, "For 14 days have we seen no spoor, so now I will go abroad to seek adventures forthwith. But tarry ye, my merry men all, here in the greenwood, only see that ye mind well my call. 3 blasts upon the bugle horn I will blow in my hour of need. Then come quickly, for I shall want your aid." So saying, he strode away through the leafy forest glades until he had come to the verge of Sherwood. There he wandered for a long time, through highway and byway, through dingly dell and forest skirts. Now he met a fair buxom lass in a shady lane, and each gave the other a merry word, then passed their way. Now he saw a fair lady upon an ambling path, to whom he doffed his cap, and who bowed sedately in return to the fair youth. Now he saw a fat monk on a pannier laden as. Now a gallant knight, with spear and shield, and armor that flashed brightly in the sunlight. Now a page clad in crimson, and now a stout burgher from good Nottingham town, pacing along with serious footsteps. All these sights he saw, but adventure found he none. At last he took a road by the forest skirts, a bypath that dipped toward a broad, pebbly stream spanned by a narrow bridge made of a log of wood. As he drew nigh this bridge, he saw a tall stranger coming from the other side. Thereupon, Robin quickened his pace, as the stranger did likewise, each thinking to cross first. "Now stand thou back," quoth Robin, "and let the better man cross first." "Nay," answered the stranger, "then stand back thine own self, for the better man, I wot, am I." "That we will presently see," quoth Robin, "and meanwhile stand thou where thou art, or else by the bright brow of Saint Elfreda, I will show thee right good Nottingham play for the cloth-eared shack betwixt the ribs." "Now," quoth the stranger, "I will tan thy hide till it be as many colors as a beggar's cloak, if thou darest so much as touch a string of that same bow that thou holdest in thy hand." "Thou pratest like an ass," said Robin, "for I could send this shaft clean to thy proud heart before a curtal friar could say grace over a roast goose at Michael Mastied." "And thou pratest like a coward," answered the stranger, "for thou standest there with a good yew bow to shoot at my heart, while I have not in my hand but a plain blackthorn staff wherewith to meet thee." "Now," quoth Robin, "by the faith of my heart, never had I had a coward's name in all my life before. I will lay by my trusty bow and eke my arrows, and if thou darest abide my coming, I will go and cut a cudgel to test thy manhood withal." "Aye, marry, that will I abide thy coming, and joyously too," quoth the stranger, whereupon he leaned sturdily upon his staff to await Robin. Then Robin Hood stepped quickly to the cover side and cut a good staff of ground oak, straight, without flaw, and 6 feet in length, and came back trimming away the tender stems from it, while the stranger waited for him, leaning upon his staff and whistling as he gazed round about. Robin observed him furtively as he trimmed his staff, measuring him from top to toe from at the corner of his eye, and thought that he had never seen a lustier or a stouter man. Tall was Robin, but taller was the stranger by a head and a neck, for he was 7 feet in height. Broad was Robin across the shoulders, but broader was the stranger by twice the breadth of a palm, while he measured at least an ell around the waist. "Nevertheless," said Robin to himself, "I will baste thy hide right merrily, my good fellow." Then aloud, "Lo, here is my good staff, lusty and tough. Now wait my coming, and thou darest, and meet me, and thou fearest not. Then we will fight, until one or the other of us tumble into the stream of dint of blows. Marry, that meeteth my whole heart," cried the stranger, twirling his staff above his head, betwixt his fingers and thumb, until it whistled again. Never did the knights of Arthur's Round Table meet in a stouter fight than did these two. In a moment, Robin stepped quickly upon the bridge where the stranger stood. First he made a feint, and then delivered a blow at the stranger's head that, had it met its mark, would have tumbled him speedily into the river. But the stranger returned the blow right deftly, and in return gave one a stout, which Robin also turned as the stranger had done. So they stood, each in his place, neither moving a finger's breadth back, for one good hour, and many blows were given and received by each in that time, till here and there were sore bones and bumps, yet neither thought of crying enough, nor seemed likely to fall from off the bridge. Now and then they stopped to rest, and each thought that he never had seen in all his life before such a hand at quarterstaff. At last Robin gave the stranger a blow upon the ribs that made his jacket smoke like a damp straw thatch in the sun. So shrewd was the stroke that the stranger came within a hair's breadth of falling off the bridge. But he regained himself right quickly, and by a dexterous blow gave Robin a crack on the crown that caused the blood to flow. Then Robin grew mad with anger, and smote with all his might at the other. But the stranger warded the blow, and once again thwacked Robin, and this time so fairly that he fell heels over head into the water, as the queen pin falls in the game of bowls. "And where art thou now, my good lad?" shouted the stranger, roaring with laughter. "Oh, in the flood and floating it down with the tide," cried Robin. Nor could he forbear laughing himself at this sorry plight. Then gaining to his feet, he waded to the bank, the little fish speeding hither and thither, all frightened at his splashing. "Give me thy hand," cried he, when he had reached the bank. "I must needs own thou art a brave and sturdy soul, and withal a good stout stroke with the cudgels. By this and by that, my head hummeth like to a hive of bees on a hot June day." Then he clapped his horn to his lips, and winded a blast, and went echoing sweetly down the forest path. "Ay, marry," quoth he again, "thou art a tall lad, and eke a brave one, for ne'er, I trow, is there a man betwixt here and Canterbury town could do the like to me that thou hast done." "And thou," quoth the stranger, laughing, "takest thy cudgeling like a brave heart and stout yeoman. But now the distant twigs and branches rustled with the coming of men, and suddenly a score or two of good stout yeomen, all clad in Lincoln green, burst from out the cover, with merry Will Stutely at their head. "Good master," cried Will, "how is this? Truly thou art all wet, head to foot, and that to the very skin." "Why, marry," answered jolly Robin, "yon stout fellow hath tumbled me neck and crop into the water, and hath given me a drubbing beside." "Then shall he not go without a ducking and eke a drubbing himself?" cried Will Stutely. "Have at him, lads." Then Will and a score of yeomen leaped upon the stranger, but though they sprang quickly, they found him ready, and felt him strike right and left with his stout staff, so that, though he went down with press of numbers. Some of them rubbed cracked crowns before he was overcome. "Nay, forbear," cried Robin, laughing until his sore sides ached. "He is a right good man and true. No harm shall befall him. Now hark ye, good youth, wilt thou stay with me and be one of my band? 3 suits of Lincoln green shalt thou have each year, beside 40 marks in fee, and share with us whatsoever good shall befall us. Thou shalt eat sweet venison and quaff the stoutest ale, and mine own good right-hand man shalt thou be, for never did I see such a cudgel player in all my life before. Speak, wilt thou be one of my good merry men?" "That know I not," quoth the stranger, surlily, for he was angry at being so tumbled about. "If ye handle ye bow and apple shaft no better than ye do oaken cudgel, I wot ye are not fit to be called yeoman in my country. But if there be any man here that can shoot a better shaft than I, then will I bethink me of joining with you." "Now by my faith," said Robin, "thou art a right saucy varlet, sirrah. Yet I will stoop to thee as I never stooped to man before. Good Stuteley, cut thou a fair white piece of bark, 4 fingers in breadth, and set it 40 yards distant on a yonder oak. Now, stranger, hit that fairly with a gray goose shaft, and call thyself an archer." "Aye, marry, thy will I," answered he. "Give me a good stout bow and a fair broad arrow, and if I hit it not, strip me and beat me blue with bowstrings." Then he chose the stoutest bow among them all, next to Robin's own, and a straight gray goose shaft, well feathered and smooth, and stepping out to the mark, while all the band, sitting or lying upon the greensward, watched to see him shoot, he drew the arrow to his cheek and loosed the shaft right deftly, sending it so straight down the path that it clove the mark in the very center. "Aha," cried he, "mend thou that if thou canst," while even the yeomen clapped their hands at so fair a shot. "That is a keen shot indeed," quoth Robin. "Mend it, I cannot, but mar it, I may, perhaps." Then taking up his own good stout bow, and knocking an arrow with care, he shot with his very greatest skill. Straight flew the arrow, and so true that it lit fairly upon the stranger's shaft, and split it into splinters. Then all the yeomen leaped to their feet and shouted for joy that their master had shot so well. "Now by the lusty yew bow of good Saint Withold," cried the stranger, "that is a shot indeed, and never saw I the like of it in all my life before. Now truly will I be thy man henceforth, and for aye. Good Adam Bell was a fair shot, but never shy he so. Then have I gained the right to a good man this day," quoth jolly Robin. "What name goest thou by, good fellow?" "Men call me John Little, whence I came," answered the stranger. Then Will Stuteley, who loved a good jest, spoke up. "Nay, fair little stranger," said he, "I like not thy name, and fain I would have it otherwise. Little art thou indeed, and small of bone and sinew. Therefore shalt thou be christened Little John, and I will be thy godfather. Then Robin Hood and all his band laughed aloud until the stranger began to grow angry. "And thou make a jest of me," quoth he to Will Stutely. "Thou wilt have sore bones and little pay, and that in short season." "Nay, good friend," said Robin Hood, "bottle thine anger, for the name fitteth thee well. Little John shall thou be called henceforth, and Little John shall it be. So come, my merry men, we will prepare a christening feast for this fair infant." So turning their backs upon the stream, they plunged into the forest once more, through which they traced their steps till they reached the spot where they dwelled in the depths of the woodland. There, and they built huts of bark and branches of trees, and made couches of sweet rushes spread over with skins of fallow deer. Here stood a great oak tree with branches spreading broadly around, beneath which was a seat of green moss where Robin Hood was wont to sit at feast and at merrymaking with his stout men about him. Here they found the rest of the band, some of whom have come in with a brace of fat does. Then they all built great fires, and after a time roasted the does and broached a barrel of humming ale. Then, when the feast was ready, they all sat down. But Robin placed Little John at his right hand, and he was henceforth to be the second in the band. Then, when the feast was done, Will Stutely spoke up. "It is now time, I ween, to christen our bonny babe, is it not so, merry boys?" "And I," cried all, laughing till the woods echoed with their mirth. "Then seven sponsors shall we have," quoth Will Stutely, and hunting among all the band, he chose the seven stoutest of them all. "Now by St. Dunstan," cried Little John, springing to his feet, "more than one of you shall rue it, and you lay a finger upon me." But without a word, they all ran upon him at once, seizing him by his legs and arms, and holding him tightly in spite of his struggles, and they bore him forth, while all stood around to see the sport. Then one came forward, who had been chosen to play the priest, because he had a bald crown, and in his hand he carried a brimming pot of ale. "Now, who bringeth this babe?" asked he right soberly. "That do I," answered Will Stutely. "And what name callest thou him?" "Little John, call I him." "Now, Little John," quoth the mock priest, "thou hast not lived heretofore, but only got thee along through the world. But henceforth thou wilt live, indeed. When thou livest, not thou wast called John Little, but now that thou dost live indeed, Little John, thou be called. So christen I thee." And at these last words he emptied the pot of ale upon Little John's head. Then all shouted with laughter as they saw the good brown ale stream over Little John's beard and trickle from his nose and chin, while his eyes blinked with the smart of it. At first he was of a mind to be angry, but found he could not, because the others were so merry. So he too laughed with the rest. Then Robin took this sweet, pretty babe, clothed him all anew from top to toe in Lincoln green, and gave him a good stout bow, and made him a member of the merry ban. Thank you for listening to Sleepy. Good night.